Chapter 94. Delicate state, and had, no doubt, sent word that they were to forward full particulars. Yes. That was very kind of him, so like him too. He desired me to give his kindest love, said Nicholas. Very much obliged to him, I'm sure. Your great uncle, Lillivick, my dears. Interposed Mr. Kenwicks, condescendingly explaining it to the children. His kindest love, resumed Nicholas, and to say that he had no time to write, but that he was married to Miss Pettiker. Mr. Kenwicks started from his seat with a petrified stare, caught his second daughter by her flaxen tail, and covered his face with his pocket handkerchief. Morlina fell, all stiff and rigid, into the baby's chair, as she had seen her mother fall when she fainted away, and the two remaining little Kenwickses shrieked in affright. My children, my defrauded, swindled infants! Cried Mr. Kenwicks, pulling so hard, in his vehemence, at the flaxen tail of his second daughter, that he lifted her up on tiptoe, and kept her, for some seconds, in that attitude. Villain, ass, traitor, drat the man, cried the nurse, looking angrily around. What does he mean, by making that noise here? Silence, woman, said Mr. Kenwicks, fiercely. I won't be silent, returned the nurse. Be silent yourself, you wretch. Have you no regard for your baby? No. Returned Mr. Kenwicks. More shame for you, retorted the nurse. Ugh. You unnatural monster. Let him die, cried Mr. Kenwicks, in the torrent of his wrath. Let him die. He has no expectations, no property to come into. We want no babies here, said Mr. Kenwicks recklessly. Take him away. Take him away to the fondling. With these awful remarks, Mr. Kenwicks sat himself down in a chair, and defied the nurse, who made the best of her way into the adjoining room, and returned with a stream of matrons, declaring that Mr. Kenwicks had spoken blasphemy against his family, and must be raving mad. Appearances were certainly not in Mr. Kenwick's favor, for the exertion of speaking with so much vehemence, and yet in such a tone as should prevent his lamentations reaching the ears of Mrs. Kenwicks, had made him very black in the face. Besides which, the excitement of the occasion, and an unwonted indulgence in various strong cordials to celebrate it, had swollen and dilated his features to a most unusual extent. But, Nicholas and the doctor, who had been passive at first, doubting very much whether Mr. Kenwicks could be in earnest interfering, to explain the immediate cause of his condition, the indignation of the matrons was changed to pity, and they implored him, with much feeling, to go quietly to bed. The attention, said Mr. Kenwicks, looking around with a plaintive air, the attention that I've shown to that man. The hissers he has eat, and the pints of ale he has drank, in this house. It's very trying, and very hard to bear, we know, said one of the married ladies, but think of your dear darling wife. Oh yes, and what she's been a undergoing of, only this day, cried a great many voices. There's a good man, do. The presents that have been made to him, said Mr. Kenwicks, reverting to his calamity, the pipes, the snuff boxes, a pair of India rubber galoshes, that cost 6 and 6, it won't bear thinking of, indeed, cried the matrons generally, but it'll all come home to him, never fear. Mr. Kenwicks looked darkly upon the ladies, as if he would prefer it's all coming home to him, as there was nothing to be got by it. But he said nothing, and resting his head upon his hand, subsided into a kind of doze. Then, the matrons again expatiated on the expediency of taking the good gentleman to bed. observing that he would be better tomorrow, and that they knew what was aware, and tear of some men's minds, when their wives were taken as Mrs. Kenwick's had been that day, and that it did him great credit, and there was nothing to be ashamed of in it. Far from it. They liked to see it, they did, for it showed a good heart. And one lady observed, as a case bearing upon the present, that her husband was often quite light-headed from anxiety on similar occasions, and that once, when her little Johnny was born, it was nearly a week before he came to himself again, during the whole of which time he did nothing but cry, "Is it a boy? Is it a boy?" in a manner which went to the hearts of all his hearers. At length, Morlina, who quite forgot she had fainted, when she found she was not noticed, announced that a chamber was ready for her afflicted parent, and Mr. Kenwick's, having partially smothered his four daughters in the closeness of his embrace, accepted the doctor's arm on one side, and the support of Nicholas on the other, and was conducted upstairs to a bedroom which had been secured for the occasion. Having seen him sound asleep, and heard him snore most satisfactorily, and having further presided over the distribution of the toys, to the perfect contentment of all the little Kenwickses, Nicholas took his leave. The matrons dropped off one by one, with the exception of six or eight particular friends, who had determined to stop all night. The lights in the houses gradually disappeared. The last bulletin was issued, that Mrs. Kenwick's was as well as could be expected, and the whole family were left to their repose. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.